So What Do You Do is sponsored by FactZero.com.
Don't you feel like our democracy's not dealing like we used to see?
It's news to me, some choose to be enabling this mockery.
It's human and it's history.
Communication is the key.
Now come on, you can talk to me. So what do we do?
Hello and welcome to So What Do We Do? A podcast that keeps you up to date on the news but also tries to de-stress you so you're still calm enough to do something about it.
I'm Storm, reluctant news junkie with a heart that is a beating kitten. Ooh, that sounds disgusting.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm Angela Laser, and I didn't even have a disgusting introduction for myself prepared, so that's okay. You know, we're trying.
Well, we're rusty. We've been off for a couple of weeks.
Yeah, you've been all over the place. Can you tell us the beautiful places that you left to come back to reality?
Yeah, well, I can tell you about the last one. I forgot what happened the weekend before that.
I don't know. I think I was sick.
Oh, yeah. We both had stuff going on, and I was traveling. I honestly don't remember where, but the last trip.
Dragon Con.
Oh, right. Dragon Con. Yeah. Which is, I came to terms with that con. Like, I love it. It's amazing, but I don't like crowds. I think I went over this. But I found my way this year just fine. And it helped that there were so many great pals, good friends, and meeting some new friends that you kind of stay with your group of people. You know where you're going. And it's all cool. And it was such a great time. Yeah.
That's awesome. You got some Mike Furman, right? I got some Mike Furman yesterday. I love that guy.
Yes. That falls under the bestest of people that we got to hang out with. Yeah, that just makes all the difference. And Ken Plume and Aaron, who put the whole thing together, their track in Dragon Con is very well run. So even though the con itself is huge and sprawling and chaotic, everything that we were involved with was great. And that just makes all the difference. So good time. And then the second trip was two friends getting married out in Colorado. So Mrs. Storm and I went to the wedding, which was in Denver, and then spent a couple of days and visited the Great Sand Dunes National Park, which is four hours south of Denver in the Front Range. Just stunning stuff. Big fan of nature and the national parks, and support them both by visiting them and donating when I can. Highly recommended. So I'm sorry that there was like very spotty internet, what with it being a mountain range and sand dunes.
I'd rather you enjoy the world. We advocate that so much here.
Yeah, while it's still here, we got to enjoy it. So, yeah, hit that world. Do the thing.
That's good. I did give a little bit of an update. You had sent me a text to read to our fans. So I did read them, your update, and give a little, a couple really short episodes while you were gone, about a minute long, just to keep everybody aware that we cared about them.
That is fantastic, because I do care, and I miss you, Angela Acer, and I miss you, who are listening with your ears, I presume.
They are. That's how they listen. Most people, we did a survey, most people listen to the podcast with their ears.
Well, I don't know if someone might have it hooked up to, TTL, like that could be transcribed somehow.
That'd be
so
good.
It's possible.
That'd be good.
It's possible.
Wonderful. Yeah. Well, are you ready to get into the news for the first time in a few weeks?
Yeah, I've got just a summary of sort of the latest, greatest, not gonna run down of the whole 2 weeks, because that would be like, you know, going over a whole epoch of history.
Yeah.
And I've got it narrowed down to four categories plus an asterisk.
Storm, I'm going to take a phone call because I've been waiting for it. I'm going to just do it on air. Just give me just a second.
Yeah, I'm excited.
All right.
I'm going to provide the other side of the conversation.
Hello?
Oh, have you answered? I can't tell. Well, I'll just make up the whole conversation. Hello, this is Angela Laser. Yes, we're calling about the lizards you ordered. Wait, I didn't order any lizards. Well, I've got an invoice here, and it says 5 glittery lizards, 6 fire lizards, and some tacos. I know, that's not lizards, but, you know, we make a good markup on them. Oh, well, I don't think it's very prudent of me to order lizards right now, and I didn't order them, but I'll take the tacos. Oh, okay. Do you want sour cream on the tacos? Well, all right, you talked me into it. Great, great. We will send you 500 tacos with sour cream. Whoa, 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 whoa. We're going to need 1,000. 1,000? We don't have 1,000 tacos. Well, you better get cooking, mister. Hey, what happened to your accent? Well, hey, what happened to yours? Oh, my God, we're the same people.
Storm, are you still there?
Yeah.
Did you and the listeners have a good time?
I think so.
Okay. There's this apartment we've been playing phone tag with for literally 2 months. It's like, if I don't take this call, I'm not going to be able to move. So I'm excited.
Oh.
I'm excited.
Wow.
Yeah.
So nothing about, like, tacos?
It wasn't about tacos. No. What?
Or any lizards involved?
No. No,
all right, we'll leave it there for now. But I hope that I really hope that works out for you, because okay. I don't want you shambling around the streets of LA. I think I made that comment the last time.
Yeah,
that's because I really. Yeah, okay, we're not going down that road again. God, I think I said that too.
All right, let's do that news we were talking about.
All right, that's only because everything is deja vu these days.
Yeah,
and okay, so the first one that happened like 3 hours ago. I'm not going to dwell on it. Trump threatens to totally destroy North Korea. That's actually the headline from the New York Times.
Oh, no.
And, you know, nothing with – said it before. Nothing with this administration is a distraction. It's all serious. And you're talking about a North Korean regime that they don't know what the F to make of this, and they want their own survival. So let's just say it's not healthy. Do you have a flight of offsets for us this week?
Yeah, I have a project for us because I like it when we do projects together.
Yeah.
As I talk about endlessly, I am in LA now and I'm looking for work, but I'm struggling to translate my experiences as a touring musician to like a office job or just any day job that I could get here.
Uh-huh.
So I have a list of experiences I've been through, and I was hoping you could help me translate to something I could put on my resume.
Oh, I'm good at this. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm going to get you the best job in the world okay. for you right now.
All right. So, a few days at work, my job was to sit in a car for 8 to 10 hours listening to podcasts, and that's all I did.
Uh huh.
So what, how would I put that on my resume? Do you think that I could get a job?
That you have critical analytical skills. Can digest large amounts of information.
Oh, you are good at this, aren't you? You've done this before.
I think I've said it before. being incompetent for a long time, you develop some pretty specialized skills, mostly in the bullshitting department. So yeah, that's actually true. There's some truth in there for you.
Sure. No, I mean, yeah, a little bit of truth and a lot of. Sometimes my job is to just sit still and wait for things to happen. So
yeah, I guess give them the old razzle dazzle.
Okay, let's do a news and then come back to helping me, which is really the point of this focus group. So
absolutely. Okay, this next one is the hot item, the whoop whoop, the little siren icon. The ACA is under fire, still in jeopardy. The zombie. Legislation that will not die until they've killed us all. And right now in the Senate, they keep doing more and more horrible things. And I don't mean just in terms of this legislation that would gut Medicaid, eliminate pre-existing conditions. And it's even further than any other version. But the amount that they are breaking our system of legislation and governance to do it, mm-hmm. That they're just eliding all of the processes that, no, they're not spelled out in the Constitution, but they've been built up over hundreds of years to provide credibility to the decisions that get made that affect all of us. And some say, oh, there's nothing to worry about. Oh, this keeps happening. Well, guess what? The time that we let our guard down is the time that they're going to slip the knife between, you know, between our ribs, all of our ribs. And I mean everybody. The people that are going to cheer because it pissed off all the libs. Guess what? We're all going down together. So that's pretty terrible. So what can I help you with to help offset that terrible thing?
Absolutely. Well, I have the next item I have on my resume here is that over the past 5 years, I've amassed a collection of cat and dinosaur dresses and nerd-based jewelry. That took up a medium-sized closet. So I just basically have a lot of nerdy stuff. I don't know.
And you've and you've aggregated them in a single place, or you've aggregated them, correct?
Yeah.
You are a highly organized self-starter capable of managing vast inventories.
Oh, that's right? Nice. Yeah. Vast inventories of gifts and impulse purchases.
Well, that's a self-starter. No one told you to buy those things, correct?
That's right. No, it was usually I would save them until I was like depressed and needed something, some online shopping to do to make myself feel better. So
that's you're starting the self like mad. That's great.
I feel better about myself already. This is great.
Well, you should. You got some mad skills there, Angelazer.
Thank you so much. All right. News me.
Right. Similarly, it already seems like it was 2 years ago. DACA, this is the Dreamers, the folks that came here as immigrants, as children, who have only known the United States as their country, who are now being threatened with deportation that could lead to things like, death. It's still in jeopardy. There was excitement about Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi talking with Trump and cutting some sort of deal. Don't you believe it? This is still something that is under fire. ICE, immigration enforcement, is still a draconian engine that is becoming beefier by the day. A good thing in this realm is that a federal judge temporarily halted a Texas sanctuary city ban. So there are things going on, battles in the courts, so long as the judiciary remains untampered with. That's a safeguard.
We've been talking about that sanctuary stuff for a while, sanctuary city stuff.
Yeah.
Eye on that.
Yes. I believe from the start of all of this, and I'm going to get to this in something I kind of want to talk about later, but that this is, I believe, central to the Trumpists and, I believe, a large chunk of the GOP's intent and aim. If they could do it right away, and I believe they thought they could just right away sweep the country for people they believe don't belong here and should be booted the F out, they would do it. But they realized that they stepped on a third rail with the Muslim ban at the airports, and that there's big trouble if they take it on head on. So they're trying a lot of different methods to try to outflank, to try to poke and prod to find weak spots or ways that they can get things done under the radar. And this is where being secretive about information aids their cause, because if you simply don't know something is happening, what can you do about it? Fait accompli. So that's pretty horrible. What other things have you been doing on the road that are totally marketable skills?
Sure. This is, I think, a memory that's going to be in my brain forever, like many sort of embarrassing and weird things that happened. So one time at Wootstock, your show in San Diego, mm-hmm. I walked out of a bathroom, and the bathrooms there are like inside the green rooms, and yes. like immediately walked right into Neil Gaiman. Mm-hmm. And then had to have a conversation with him where I was mostly trying to convince him that we had never met before, because I definitely would have remembered it. He was like, no, we've met, right? And I should have just said yes. I don't know. It was a weird day. And I think about it all the time. I feel like I should be able to use that somehow.
Now, the nature of that exchange, was that one where you were caught off guard, but you managed the situation, correct?
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Crisis management. You have experience with that. Uh-huh. And quick thinking on your feet. So that when you make that to self-starter, I mean, I would hire that person to do anything from producing mm-hmm. a movie to making Cinnabons to engineering corporate takeovers, you name it. Like, you have a person like that, you just have to give them a PowerPoint presentation on what you want them to do and done. Done.
Producing a movie about a corporate takeover of Cinnabon. That's
a little on point. But I would hire you for that.
Okay. Let's do it.
Done.
I like the idea that I'd put crisis management on a resume and then they would ask me about it in an interview and I'd just tell them that story. And they would be like, oh, yeah, for sure.
Well, I would say that there's a 15%, might be a little higher than that, that could get you the job right there. You know, you're either going to get a glazed over look, or you're going to get, you met Neil Gaiman. And if it's the latter, it doesn't matter what the job is, you're going to get it.
That's a good point. It's a good point. All right. I can handle more news now. I'm buffeted.
Okay. This is one that I won't say it's good news because it doesn't solve anything, but it's not as horrible as these actions that are tearing down the fabric of the country. And this is Robert Mueller's investigation into the administration, Russia, and that whole enchilada. It continues to tighten faster, and its grip is getting harder. The big item is that Paul Manafort, who was briefly the campaign manager for Trump, is being indicted. And this is a mega huge deal. This isn't, they're asking some questions. This isn't rumors about. This is, if indeed they indict him, it means that they have enough on a person to put them through a formal process to bring them up on charges. That's a super big deal. And it's believed there are a lot of reasons that they could be doing this. The top line one being they believe this is someone who has been doing very bad things and they want to bring them to justice. That's a very simple explanation. But more likely that they are close enough that they may be starting to issue these indictments to get the players involved to turn on one another, to cut deals, to get at the biggest fish possible, which is this machine of whom Trump is at the center, that is that's wrecking the machinery and ignoring laws and all this bad stuff. And the focus of this seems to be there also seems to be a link with what's happened with Facebook ads placed maybe by the Russians, someone associated with them, and that it may be that this is the clearest link they have showing coordination between the Trump campaign and Russian interests and or Putin himself. So that's big stuff. Also under this umbrella, the administration and others affiliated with it have been ignoring court orders to testify, to turn over evidence. I mean, it is outside the law and it's not normal. And it is crazy to me that it wouldn't be viewed by anyone that way, by anyone. But there it is. And also that the House and Senate have the Republican elements have been throwing up some obstacles along the way, too, by refusing to allow some people to testify. And, I continue to believe that has to do with them wanting to get all their goodies. They want their ACA repeal. They want tax reform and all the rest. And they don't realize that they're breaking things in doing it this way. So that's that big old ball of wax. I know you still got a big bucket full of skills.
So oh, yeah.
Let's have it.
One day at work, I signed my name 900 times while watching Netflix.
Huh.
Yeah.
Detail-oriented.
Okay.
That's what that is. Detail-oriented. Uh-huh. So your ability to sit down to a task, in addition to your critical thinking that has been demonstrated and self-starting, that you're not afraid to get the precision work done. You can take on any facet of a project. You know, you can be at the top of things, managing it, or, you know, you're not afraid to go down there, roll up your sleeves. You're the person who's like, you know what, if it was something where people were reporting to, I'm not going to ask you to do anything that I wouldn't do myself. And here's me doing it to prove it. Ha. So,
oh yeah,
that's, I think that's a very strong representation right there.
Yeah. And that's a good for like when I apply to be a CEO or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. all right. Do you have more news? Is there still more things? I'm just sitting here being amazed.
One more. Well, okay. Sort of. One more and the asterisk. And the one more is a new thing I'm going to start doing with the news. That there's always these sort of little horrible things that aren't sensational, that aren't nearly as seismic as the things that make the cut, but that represent sort of the creeping ills and the pattern of behavior that is truly breaking things. And I'm calling these the icky spiders. Mm. I kind of like spiders. I feel like they're an important part of of your local ecosystem. They eat bugs. Frankly, I think they're kind of cool looking. But in a metaphorical way, icky spiders are crawling around. What are they doing? We don't know. But I guarantee you that these spiders are malign. All right?
Okay.
And I have three little spiders for you. First one is that Attorney General Jeff Sessions floated giving all of the National Security Council members lie detector tests. This was, I think, last week. And it got aired publicly, and I think it's not going to happen now, but it demonstrates not just the paranoia within the administration, but how much they're willing to – it's a super authoritarian thing to do and very police state, and how that mindset might be applied in other areas. Wow. So that's your first icky spider. Second one is similar in that the National Security Advisor, McMaster, is pushing to classify some public information as leaks, as in there's information that they don't want people talking about and that they want to be able to make it punishable for government officials or political people to talk about them, that they would consider it a leak. And that is way outside of not only the norm but the law. There's just no rationale for that. In fact, it flies in the face of good governance and things like sunshine laws that say, hey, we need – if there's not a very good reason for this to be secret, if this isn't something that could result in, you know, a strategic loss to the country or loss of life, then it's better for us to know it. And this is just authoritarian on the verge of autocratic. So that's icky spider two. But the ickiest spider is Trump's Voter Fraud Commission, the Voter Suppression Commission, headed up by Chris Kobach of Kansas. I don't know if he's little. I don't know what he looks like. But the demon imp
person, regardless.
Yeah.
Of what he looks like.
I believe that their motivations are not good and that they posit what they believe is the truth, which always ends up being something that is remedied by taking voting rights away from people who, wouldn't you know it, they're people who would normally vote against them most often, folks who are minorities or disadvantaged communities. Along with that, members of this commission are or are being encouraged to use private email addresses in order to probably keep their activities out of the public eye. So once again, the secrecy, doing things either outside of the law, skirting the law, and it's under icky spiders because you can count on this, that this is happening in every stretch and reach of the government. You name a department, education, HUD, like these ones that have incompetent seat setters, in my opinion, but all of them that we don't know what we don't know. So there's your icky spiders. So what can I help you with that can make these spiders tap dance and eat the bugs?
Let's see. Last night I slept through the first earthquake that happened while I was in LA.
Capable of focusing in adverse conditions. I know that technically you wouldn't say that sleeping is focusing, but at the it was your task. It was what you aimed to do. It's what you set out to do. And you, gosh darn it, you did it despite a what magnitude earthquake?
I don't know. I guess it was 3 something in LA.
Let's call that impressive. And I would even say, if you wanted to use the term stick-to-itiveness, you could. I'm not a fan of it myself, but you know, it's a question of style.
Perseverance,
absolutely. Absolutely. So you got a pretty impressive crop of cred there for your CV.
I know. Well, if anybody listening to the podcast wants to hire me, I would love a day job that I don't have to work at too much so that I can just write screenplays most of the time. Just let me know.
LA is chock full of them. The town is run on that. Oh, do you want your tasty asterisk?
I do.
It's Nazi punching.
Oh, yay. I don't know how to make what sound to react with.
I bring it up because I'm ambivalent about it. I've actually written a song about it, which I'm not going to sing right now. So there was an incident, I believe yesterday, certainly this weekend, where there was someone wearing a Nazi armband in Seattle who was going about berating people, African-American people, other people, in a threatening manner. And this person was tracked down and punched unconscious. And on the one hand, you say this is someone who with malign intent. And on the other side, you say, well, that's the definition of assault. And even when it's someone who is clearly hateful and directing their hate at people, possibly it could even be assault. I don't believe that language in and of itself is violence, but in situations, you know, assault does not mean hitting someone. That's battery.
Yeah.
I'm not a lawyer, by the way. So please do not take any of my words as legal instructions or instructions of any sort. But it's, I bring it up more as a sign of the times and just that violence is becoming ever closer. And that doesn't even get into what's happening in St. Louis, the reaction to the, in my opinion, terrible acquittal of the police officer who had said, I'm paraphrasing, I'm going to kill that person, and then killed them.
Yeah.
That violence is becoming an all too familiar guest among us. So that's Nazi punching.
No. I mean, yay. I mean, I don't know. I think that's
the reaction that I kind of have. So.
Yeah. Why are there Nazis? Stop it. I mean, I know. I just am lamenting the world.
I would say if a Nazi is coming at you and is swinging their arm in your direction, you're good to defend yourself. Punch that Nazi. So that's a pretty bright line.
All right. We're going to take a little break, talk about our friends, and then come back with some serving suggestions and some talking. So this week's So What Do We Do is sponsored by Fact Zero again. Our good friends, that's right. Surprise, Fact Zero is still helping us out. Thank you so much.
And you know why they're our friends? Do you know why?
Why, Storm?
I'm going to tell you. I mean, you already know. A friend is someone, a friend is someone who you can count on, who you have a positive relationship with. You know they got your back. And you know what? Sometimes they do stuff for you for free. Right?
Yeah.
That's sometimes.
That's friendship.
And in the case of Fax Zero, you can send free faxes to anywhere in the United States and Canada, including to your elected representatives. Now, what kind of friend is that?
That's a friend that understands your interests and concerns. They have really easy links to freely and simply fax the people who represent you. They have all the information at autofills. They're so friendly and polite. So check them out. That's at factzero.com.
That's right. Because when you sit down on your couch with your good friend, Timmy Factzero, who's this really cute mascot. If anyone wants to draw Timmy Factzero, go for it. They didn't ask us to do that and might not want us to. But what the heck? It'd be fun.
Yeah.
But there you're on your couch. And you know what you're doing? You are sending five faxes a day, up to five a day, up to three pages each for free. That's what you're doing to your reps, to your governor. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you just want to go nuts, let's say you got a lot of faxing to do beyond that, You can still do that, and it's just $1.99 per fax. So that's kind of great. And your friend gives you a high five because you're faxing.
A fax-shaped high five. Thank you so much, FaxZero.com. And let's get back to our podcast.
Blah, 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 whatever. Yeah, whatever. Yeah, whatever. Blah, 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 whatever. Yeah, whatever. Yeah, whatever.
So, Storm, we've come to the serving suggestions part of the show.
Yeah.
Unless you want to express an opinion about Sean Spicer at the Emmys.
I have very strong feelings about that.
Yeah.
And it's been said much better by Thigh High Politics. You can look up Laura Duca's article on it.
Oh, okay.
But I think it was a terrible miscalculation. I don't know if it was Stephen Colbert, who I love.
Yeah.
To normalize that way. That my tweet the next day, because it's so important what I tweet about it, is that this is someone who is, in my mind, irredeemable. That, and certainly right now,
yeah,
that anybody who has been actively contributing to the degradation of representative democracy in the United States, don't say, hey, you're not on that team anymore. Come on, let's have some fun and laugh it off. No, no. Without that, any, I don't know, shaming is the right word, but social penalty to having done that.
Yeah.
It's terrible. I'm not saying that this is not the French Revolution where everybody goes to the guillotine. I hope not. But that it's something where, you know, if they're just a bunch of lovable clowns, we're just messing around, we're just kidding. I mean, that's straight out of the bully's toolkit, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, how's everybody else going to act? They're like, well, I can say whatever I want because I get the get out of social jail free card when I leave, and I get to hit this talk show circuit and say, yeah, I was a real stinker, wasn't I? So, no, the answer is that was it should not be repeated. And this is someone who should not be accepted as part of polite society. Of course, there are always ways that people can redeem themselves, but there should not be such a free pass.
Yeah. Anyway, you have other stuff you want to talk about, so let's do that.
I do. This might take a little while, so I don't know if we want to do it now or if we might want to do it next week. It's not specifically dependent on things that happened this week. It's sort of thoughts that have been brewing in my mind for a while. So I leave that to you.
Let's do it. We got moments.
All right. Good. This comes from – oh, and before that, one definite serving suggestion. Please contact your senators, especially your senators, about the ACA repeal. That is the hot thing. It has proved in the past that sending their phones off the hooks, it works. And
yeah,
I know it can be hard, but, you know, our friends FaxZero, fivecalls.org, there are a lot of tools out there that that make it as easy as possible. It's up to you to pick up the phone or to send the fax, but the rest of it, honestly, is there are folks out there, mm-hmm, who care a lot, that have done a lot of the work for you. So
yeah,
please do that, especially if you're one of the states where your senator is undecided. Okay.
Yeah.
So
call somebody and then buy yourself a treat and send us a selfie with the treat you bought.
Yeah, I want to see them treats. I do. I really do. Treats. Okay. So this strain of thought came from reading Ta-Nehisi Coates's article, and I hope I'm pronouncing his name correctly, that was in, oh gosh, The Atlantic?
Okay.
Titled The First White President. And we should put a link up to this.
I will do that.
It was, I feel like it really encapsulated something that I think many of us have been thinking about and just lays it out. It's a very long article and so well thought out and put together. But and this is a very simple, it's quite simplified, but that the idea is that Trump is the terrible fruit that's born of longstanding white supremacy in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll just go that far with it. And there's someone that I've been close to for a very long time who I have political discussions with rather frequently, And they're definitely on the left side of the spectrum. They're not, you know, they did not vote for Trump, et cetera. But it's been hard for me to convince them that there's really serious stuff going on, that it's well outside of the normal bounds, that stuff is breaking and it needs to change, and that it takes a little bit of effort from all of us and a lot of effort from some other people to get this right again.
Yeah.
And so I sent them this article, and because it laid out my thoughts about white supremacy in particular and how it's at the root of a lot of what's happening. Mm-hmm. And they basically said that, yeah, you know, nolo contendere, I acknowledge that everything in this article is true. It's all, it's true. I, you know what? Can't argue with it. But there's really nothing to do because of that. That, sure, you can, it's idealistic that you would, confront it and tear down this system, because it would just be replaced by another system where someone else would be repressed on some other lines. Maybe it has nothing to do with skin color, you know, and that it's just the cycle that would repeat and repeat. And it was like a punch to my stomach.
Oh, yeah.
Because this is someone who I know very well, and respect, that they – and that I know that they're not driven by racism, certainly not in an overt way. Mm-hmm. There's certainly societal and passive – there's societal and passive racism that we all contribute to, either consciously or unconsciously. That's part of what goes – part of what the article gets into.
Yeah.
And certainly not hateful, but that to me, by just writing it off, is exactly what empowers it. And I began to think of how can that be? How can that happen? And I thought of a psychological experiment that I participated in back when I was at the University of Maryland, my college days.
Okay.
Right. It's something I think about. I've been thinking about frequently, really since the election. Mm-hmm. And I think before, too. And before that, too, because I think that I have a lot of guilt from this anecdote that I carry. It's not terrible. So, no, don't worry. There's nothing nothing that's going to trigger anyone, I don't think.
Okay. You didn't lock anybody up?
No.
Okay.
I fear I might have done someone lasting psychological damage.
Wow.
Beyond myself, but not in a I don't think a terrible way, or not a traumatic thing, but more of a I'll just get into it. Okay. So this was, you know, I had a friend who is a psych major, and they are always looking for people to do experiments in the psych lab. Mm-hmm. And so I'm sorry, sure, you know, I'll go in. And it was an experiment where, you know, and you know that if you go, you might see some bucks from it. So I went in, and it was in the basement of the psych building, and they had all these cubicles set up, and there was a computer at each one. And it was a variation of the prisoner dilemma.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Where the classic prisoner dilemma is that you have three people, and the authority is trying to get them to turn on each other. So you cut a deal with one in order to get the others. And the dilemma for the prisoner is, well, if we all hang together, we all get off scot-free. If I break and rat out my buddies, I walk free, and I have to make that decision before one of my buddies rats me out. So mm-hmm. That's the classic one. This was a little different. And it was economic in nature.
Hmm.
And the way it worked is you had networked computers. You sit down at your cubicle. You're instructed, you know, stay at your cubicle. Don't look up. And you can't see anyone. You just see this computer screen, which was old school, you know, from, you know, maybe the original computers that were the green text on a black field.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And we were told that you are going to be in communication with two other people, and that there is $20 that can be split among those people, and it can be split any way that the group decides. And the only other rule is that once two people agree, it's done. Now, on this day, I had agreed to do this session some time before. And as it happened, I had another commitment that meant I didn't have a heck of a lot of time. Or I would miss that commitment. And it tells you what the level of this commitment was that I can't even remember what it was. It wasn't that important. It was probably go play video games and drink milkshakes.
Yeah.
But I decided, you know what? I can use this money in my pocket, and I want to get here as quick as possible. And my brain devised what I believed would be the quickest way to achieve the goals of walking out of the room with some of that money, and it being quick. So as soon as they said go, I wrote one of the other people, and only one of the other people, and said, hey, I got to go. So how about this? I'll take $12. You take $8 and we're out of here. And they said yes. And then there's a period of time when it has to be certified by whoever the people are running the experiment. So it's probably only 5 minutes sitting there. And I remember seeing the texts from the third person saying, guys, why aren't you talking to me? What's going on?
Oh, no.
Hey, we can all get something, right? But we had already hit the button that says done, deal. And after that, there's nothing. So it's entirely possible that I was the only actual live person in the experiment. You know, I'll never know unless one of our listeners was part of that.
Oh,
and
what?
I walked out of there with my $12 or whatever it was, and I drank my milkshake or whatever.
Wow.
But even then, it lingered with me, and I thought, that was kind of shitty. And I laugh about it now, but I wonder, you know, that third person, what if that really was another person participating like me, and it probably was, what would their opinion be of their fellow human beings from that? And
yeah.
It was like a three-question thing about what's your worldview. And it was curious to me that they would ask that after and not before.
Yeah.
So that always stuck with me. And I bring it up now in this context about white supremacy and what's happening now, and my friend who I respect, but who has written off. And the sum of it for me is that it demystifies white supremacy, white nationalism, or any other lines that are drawn between us and them, and how it is that one set of people and a small set of people, sometimes a very small set of people, can leverage other people in order to get what they want just by giving up a little bit.
Yeah.
And that you end up with the third party, F 'em. And it's not necessarily evil, not the type of evil that you think of as Nazis and all out hate. It's not Mordor, Voldemort type of evil.
Yeah.
You could say it's another type of evil, a social evil, or simply part of human nature. But I do believe that it's in operation now, and that the question of how can it be that all these policies that will hurt everybody are being cheered by a segment of the population, which is a minority of people, to the betterment of a very small number of people? And I believe it's because these lines have been drawn almost arbitrarily, but because, if you read the first white president, it lays out the case that, hey, in this country, it's very easy to do it on skin color. It's right there. Right there, it always has been.
Well, yeah.
So I'm afraid that I don't have a conclusion or an answer to that. I do hope that in an odd way for me, it's made it all a little less scary and makes it more of something that can be quantified, much like it was by whoever those students were running that experiment in the psych department at University of Maryland in 1992. So I guess it's just food for thought.
Yeah, for sure.
And that you can't force other people to think more or be considerate. But it starts, I think, with everyone who is in a space to do so thinking a bit.
Yeah.
And having that kind of consideration. So that's all I got.
Yeah, that's some good things to think about, I think, to leave our listeners on and to leave me on as I go into my day and go look at apartments.
I'm excited for you on that. Like that's a big step in the whole LA thing. I mean, I know people who didn't get to that step for 2 years.
We're gonna not sleep on friends' couches anymore. It's gonna be great. Storm, thank you so much. That was a really, I'm excited about that story you just told and all the insight that provides. And I would like to thank our listeners so much, for listening to So What Do We Do. Thank you to folks on Twitter, Dave Dowds, thanked us for our mini episodes for the last 2 weeks with some very delightful emojis. So thank you so much for that. I'd like to just do a little plug, which was that I was on the JV Club podcast.
Yes, I saw that. Yes. Got to listen to it.
It was really fun. It was very intense and exciting, as it always is.
If there's a more awesome person in the world than Janet Varney, I don't want to know about it. All right.
Yeah, she is incredible. So check that out. It's on the Nerdist Podcast Network, the JV Club. And you can check us out, as always, in our Facebook group, So What Do We Do? So What Do We Do Pod.com, Twitter, and if you want to leave us reviews, we always appreciate that. And thank you again, always, to Fact Zero for providing support to our little podcast community and making this so much easier to make. We appreciate that so much.
Yeah, thank you.
Any final words, Storm, as we head out into the world?
You know what? Make every day your psych experiment of awesome.
Yeah. Maximize good in the world, everybody. You can do it if you try.
Yeah. All right. Put it on your resume.
Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, this is Angela. Yes. We were hoping to look at it this week. Is that an option? 3 p.m. would be great. I actually have a friend living in the building. Yeah, they do. I mean, it's an amazing location. It's a great place, so I'm excited. Thank you so much, Rosh. All right, bye.
Don't worry, folks. I'm just self-entertaining while Angela is talking to the lizard taco guy. Seriously, it's crazy right now, right? Like, if only the world were just about lizards and tacos. Seriously, make it about lizards and tacos.